Friends of the Cross, number 86, the Homily. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What are the two main reasons why we have celebrated the Easter season and are celebrating its climax at Pentecost today? They are firstly to give glory to God, and secondly, to become thoroughly Christian by receiving grace, as we call it, or supernatural life as it really is, receiving life from our risen Lord. He gives this grace or life by infusing or pouring the Holy Spirit into us. And the Holy Spirit is God. We give glory to God whenever we act under the influence of the Holy Spirit. When we act without his influence, we do not either give glory to God or become more Christian. If we do anything without God's grace, that action does not help us or anyone else towards heaven according to the normal way God's providence works. It follows that we need the Holy Spirit very much, and we ought to desire him to come to us more and more, to desire this with all our hearts. As we sang in the hymn, without him there is nothing in man. God does not come to us as if we were inanimate creatures. He comes to us as we are, conscious, thinking, feeling people. People who are aware of what is happening to them and who can choose in many ways what shall happen to them. When the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, it was at a time when they were seeking God with all their desire and all their attention. They were engaged in prayer together with Mary, the mother of Jesus. It is chiefly in prayer, and above all prayer supported by our Blessed Lady, that we receive an inpouring of the Holy Spirit. It is in answer to constant and prolonged prayer, and fervent prayer at that, that we receive the best gift of God above. The amount of grace we receive in receiving the sacraments depends to a considerable extent on how much prayer and desire has preceded them and how much accompanies them. Since God comes to us as conscious people who know what is happening to them, we ought to know how to recognize the coming of the Holy Spirit so that we may welcome him and do whatever he comes to influence us to do. For he is active within us, and we are conscious people. The apostles knew that he had come both by the sound of a powerful wind and by the sight of tongues of fire. They also felt his influence as an irresistible impulse to speak to everyone in his own language about the marvels of God. The apostles were conscious of the coming of the Holy Spirit, and they followed his influence within them by doing something holy. We cannot say, Jesus is Lord, without the Holy Spirit. The gift of faith is one of his many gifts, and the consciousness of his gifts assures us that he has come and is influencing us. He gives many different gifts, as St. Paul points out, to different people, but there are two of them which we all have. He makes us feel at least two influences, and this feeling makes us certain that he is with us. These two gifts we all have are symbolized by the tongues of fire that appear at Pentecost. Tongues are connected with truth, and fire is connected with fervor. Every time that you feel or admit or know that the Catholic faith is true, you prove that the Holy Spirit is with you. Whenever you feel any fervour, any impulse to love God and your neighbour, it is an impulse from the Holy Spirit that you are conscious of. Whenever you thank God and are glad that you have the vocation he has given you, you can be sure that the Holy Spirit is acting within you. Whenever you long to be a better Catholic and to get closer to God, that feeling is an effect of the Holy Spirit. We do not see or feel him directly any more than the apostles did, but we see and feel his effects, and we know with love that he's with us, hidden but active. Now at this Mass on the Feast of Pentecost, You both believe God's truth and desire to be as fervent as you possibly can. So it is certain that the Holy Spirit has descended on you and is with you. Welcome him and his influence. Ask him to stay with you and to come ever more powerfully until your whole life, every moment of it, is lived under his influence. Then you will be happy and holy and make others happy and holy too. The Holy Communion that we shall receive at this Mass is the real reception of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. And our risen Lord radiates or pours out the Holy Spirit because he is radiant with him. Whenever Jesus comes after his resurrection and ascension, he always effectively says, "Peace be with you," and "Receive the Holy Spirit." We are conscious, living people, and we ought to try to welcome our Divine Lord and his Holy Spirit consciously with all the fervour that we can. We ought not only to believe firmly that God comes to us, but also to have a delicate sensitivity about us, so that we may feel the coming of God by its effects and yield ourselves to his gentle but strong influence. There's no holy life for anyone who does not listen to God and grow in sensitivity to the gentle impulses of the Holy Spirit. The more we follow at once any good impulse or light that comes to us, the more does God multiply such impulses and lights. If we were faithful and sensitive to his least hint of a wish, if we always followed even the weakest inspiration of the Holy Spirit, if we always followed any impulse to do good or think good thoughts or make our prayers, we should be aware and conscious of the presence and guidance of God all the time. If we stopped thinking about ourselves and kept all our thoughts for God's holy will, how different we should be. Then the Holy Spirit would come to us in great abundance. He would enter our hearts and kindle in them the very fire of his love. We should feel the glow of that fire, and other people would feel its warmth in our presence. This is the grace that Jesus holds out to us today, if we will only accept it and its consequences. The gift of God is the Holy Spirit, and when you have a certain spirit, your life is entirely coloured by that spirit. We are children of God because we have his Spirit, and we really do say, "Jesus is Lord," and we really do call God our Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends of the Cross, number 86. The Conference. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we believe that God became man, we believe something very extraordinary indeed. The gulf between God, who is infinite, and any creature that is finite is an infinite gulf. Yet man is a creature, and so we believe that God became a creature. Of course, we do not believe that God changed in himself in any way. God simply cannot change. That he should do so is sheer impossibility, because when anything changes, it becomes what it was not before. Thus it must, before the change, have not been what it changes into. But God is infinite being and lacks nothing. There is nothing at all lacking to God that he can change into. But a creature lacks all sorts of things, and can change, therefore. And when God became man, it was really a man who came into being as God. The incarnation did not change God, but it made the child Our Lady conceived God, and it also made a difference to all other men of all times. We believe that Jesus Christ our Lord is true God and true man, and that he died and rose again. If it is hard to believe that God becomes man, it is not easy to believe that that man who was God died. But we do believe it. And when we use the word believe, we do not mean that we think it is probably true. We mean that we are absolutely certain that it is true, and that we know this not by sight, but by faith. Any man's outlook may be affected by all sorts of influences. We are all affected by the spirit of the times we live in, for example. The views of people we live with or know can influence our outlook. None of us forms his opinions or convictions out of the blue and in complete isolation from other people. We are dependent on influences outside ourselves as well as those within us in coming to our views on life. It is very important for us to make sure that the influences to which we expose ourselves are healthy ones. Unfortunately, there are many things around us that are not healthy and which we cannot avoid altogether, but we can be on our guard. There is only one explanation for the fact that we absolutely firmly and resolutely believe that Jesus is true God and true man, and that he died and rose again. There's only one influence that can make a man absolutely certain that Jesus Christ is Lord. Without that influence, we cannot believe this truth, despite the fact that it's true. No one can say Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit, as Scripture tells us. So the fact that we do believe the good Christian news is a proof that we have received the Holy Spirit into our souls. The Spirit of God is influencing our own spirit, giving us the right spirit. Whether we think we have had an experience of the Holy Spirit or not, the fact that we are believers in the truth proves that we have in fact received his coming into us, and that this visit is still going on, and that it is having an effect. The greatest and most essential influence in a Christian's life is that of the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God, the Spirit breathed forth within God's infinite life by the Father and the Son together as one. The Holy Spirit is not in any sense a kind of abstraction from God. He is not less real than the Father or the Son. Both Father and Son breathe forth into the Holy Spirit all their own reality, the infinite reality of God. So when we say that we have received the Holy Spirit and have proof of this fact in that we believe Jesus is Lord, we are saying that we have received God, and God cannot be diminished in any way. The Holy Spirit must fill with God's Spirit, with God's outlook, with God's values and judgments, anyone who is utterly open to him. The Holy Spirit must make anyone who really responds to what he offers God-like. If you have a person's spirit, you're like that person. We have God's Spirit, so we must be like him. On the other hand, we do not seem to be very much like God. We do all kinds of things that God would not even do as a man. We do things Jesus would not dream of doing, things he flatly refused to do when he was on earth. We commit sin. We do less good than we could. We sometimes lose our trust in God to some extent. We give way to moods and let our moods affect other people too. We are selfish and self-indulgent. We have various obvious and long-standing faults, and so on. The Spirit of God has not entirely penetrated us. We are not completely under his influence. This is a great pity, of course. There are various reasons why we're not perfect as we should be if we let the Holy Spirit rule over us, or rather let Jesus as Lord rule over us by the power of his Holy Spirit. We suffer from the effects of original sin. We suffer from the after effects of our actual sins. And we are exposed by God's own will to limited attacks from the devil tempting us. In other words, we are at present living in a state of conflict. Christian life is a battle,